Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to the webcast. Thank you for joining us, or joining me. As you can see, I'm on my own today, as Barry and Anne have got some friends staying for a few days. So it left me holding the fort on my own. So here I am. But anyway, we can still have a good time, and Barry will be back with us next week. And next week, we have some guest speakers again. We have Mark and Laura Russell joining us. We had them on the webcast, I think, sometime in the summer. I had a really good time with them sharing, and they're coming back again next week. So we're looking forward to hearing what they've got to say. So come and join us next week, and they'll be the guest speakers, and Barry and I will be hosting it, and then letting Mark and Laura have freedom with what they want to say and what they want to share. So that's next week. But no other notices, no other announcements, other than just to say welcome. And you know, those of you watching later, thank you for joining us again. It's always good to see a few people joining a live webcast, but hearing the stories of people who watch later and those who watch live is just wonderful. So thank you. Today I just wanted to share about something that is very familiar to us, really. You can see the title at the top of the screen, Living in Sonship. And in a sense, it's going to be a very familiar message, maybe a bit of a reminder, but I hope it's also going to be an opportunity for us to go deeper, because you know, living in sonship is walking as Jesus walked. It's becoming like Jesus, which Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians. You know, that as we go on this journey, we begin to be transformed into his likeness. And that's something that doesn't stop. You know, we don't do it for 6 months and think, I've made it, I'm there, and then kind of stop. This is a lifelong journey of learning to walk as Jesus walked, learning to live as Jesus lived. And, you know, the journey of sonship really affects everything. You know, it affects our whole life. It affects our faith. It affects... you know, what I really long for is that this journey of sonship would actually begin to affect and change the church. You know, my heart is that so many people would become captivated by the love of the Father and begin to walk in love, that it would begin to change our churches. That's what I long to see. And, you know, I believe we're starting to see that happen. And that's really encouraging. You know, I think there's the signs, there's little indications that more and more people are beginning to understand who the Father is to them, that God wants to be a Father to them. And they're allowing their hearts to be soaked in his love. And that's bringing change. And, you know, as we see that happen more and more, I really believe that's going to change and transform our churches. And that's what I long for. That's becoming a greater passion in my heart, because the church was God's idea. You know, he brought it into being, you know, and he longs for us to be like his son Jesus, and leaving the striving and the performance and the orphan-hearted ways behind, the servant-hearted ways behind, and actually living as sons and daughters in his kingdom. Because I really believe as well that as we live as sons and daughters, that's what's going to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, the kingdom of heaven down. So I feel like we are standing at the beginning of something, and it can only be good. And that's why, you know, living in sonship, it's a familiar message, but it's something for us to go deeper in. And I hope we become contagious that what we have got begins to infect other people and affect them. And, you know, just like people catch colds and flus from one another, you know, I want people to catch sonship from us and let it begin to see, you know, bring change. Because I just believe this is so much on the Father's heart, that he wants us as the church to walk in sonship together, you know, with one another, but also in fellowship with him, because that's what I believe the scriptures constantly point to, is this world being transformed by love, by humility, by meekness, by people walking a completely different pathway to the ways of the world. And so that's kind of a little bit of what's on my heart for this evening, and really just to kind of talk about sonship again, just for it to be that opportunity for us to open more of our hearts to what Father's doing. And maybe if we settled, which is easy for us to do, we all do it, you know, those times when we settle is just to say, Father, here I am, I want more. And of course, it's also an opportunity whenever I talk about sonship for me to have my magnets, because, you know, I love my magnets. More of them later. But, you know, when we look at the scriptures, we see that sonship was completely central to the life and the ministry of Jesus. You know, we know when he was baptized, the heavens opened, the Father speaks. You know, and in Matthew and Luke's gospel, it says, you are my son. No, sorry. In Matthew and Luke's gospel, it says, this is my son. It's like the Father is proclaiming to all the people watching, all the people around that river side. You know, the Father says, this is my son. You know, I love him. I'm proud of him. In Mark's gospel, it's much more personal. The Father speaks to Jesus and says, you are my son. I love you. I'm proud of you. You know, and those are different gospel accounts, but actually both version is valid. you know, I really believe both versions are valid for us. We need to hear the Father say, you are my son. You are my daughter. We need to hear those words regularly. Him speaking to our hearts, words of affirmation that are for us personally. They do our heart good. You know, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. You know, we need to hear that. You know, I'm proud of you. And also, I believe it's a declaration. You know, the Father wants to say of us, yeah, this is my son. This is my daughter. You know, I'm proud of them. You know, I love them. Because I believe that public declaration is kind of like, you know, the Father saying, hey, this is what being a Christian's all about. It's living as sons and daughters. It's really knowing your true identity. And, you know, it's kind of like the Father's picking us up and showing us off to the world. So we need to hear him speak to us. You know, you are my son. You are my daughter. But I believe he also wants to say of us, you know, these are my sons. These are my daughters. I'm so proud of them. I love them. You know, that was right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. It wasn't dependent on him doing anything or having done anything. It was just like the Father saying, this is my boy. You know, and I'm so proud of him. And you just watch what he's going to do, you know. And again, the same thing happened. The Mount of Transfiguration. The voice from heaven speaks, this is my son. I'm proud of him. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him. You know, Jesus says to the Father speaks to the disciples, listen to what my son says. You know, and I believe as the Father promotes us, you know, and shows us off, you know, he wants to say to other people, listen to my sons and daughters. They've got the words of eternal life. We know after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days, and then he was tempted by Satan. And Satan comes to him with three temptations. You know, two of them are a direct challenge to his sonship. You know, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, you know, basically prove it, you know. And the third one is slightly different, but it's still an attack on his sonship. It's basically, you know, Satan says to him, worship me and I'll give you the nations of the world. You know, and Jesus just says, no, you know, I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship my Father. See, he was so secure in his relationship with the Father that nothing was going to take him away from that. That was his bottom line, his foundation, you know, was his relationship with the Father. And however much Satan could throw at him, it was nothing, because it was not going to change who Jesus was in his heart. And there will be times when we come under attack, when we come under pressure, when we feel the heat, you know, and we question. And, you know, if we've got that same foundation as Jesus, we can say, you know, get, you know, basically Jesus said to Satan, get lost. You know, you've got nothing on me, you know, and we'll be able to say the same because our foundation is so solidly, you know, in that relationship with the Father. When Jesus was taken to the cross, the, you know, Pontius Pilate says to them, you know, to the leaders, why are you bringing this man to me? And they say, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they say, he claims to be the Son of God. And that was, you know, they weren't worried about the miracles. They weren't worried about people following him. They just said, no, he claims to be the Son of God. And that was just like, you know, the thing they were trying to throw against him. And of course, it was true. And we just see so much through the Gospels how Jesus's relationship with the Father was so central to everything he did, everything he was. You know, it was who he was. He was the Son. You know, he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. And we see that security of relationship even as the boy is 12 years old, you know, in the temple. He's talking to the teachers. They're amazed at the answers he gives them. And I find that fascinating. You know, he's starting off asking them questions, but at the end of it, they are amazed at the answers that Jesus is giving, which means the teachers must be asking this 12-year-old boy questions because he's giving them answers. And when Joseph and Mary roll up 3 days later, Jesus says, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? See, it was just, to him, it was just like so obvious. You know, this is who I am. And, you know, that was just the central thing throughout his whole life. And, you know, I believe it can be the same for us, that our relationship with the Father becomes the central thing in our life. You see, sonship it's not a new set of rules. It's not facts or principles. It's not a new tradition. It's a relationship. You know, sonship is a relationship. It's what the Father always intended. It's what he intended for the people of Israel before they got so caught up in their rebellion and their independence and their pride. You know, he wanted to be their Father. He wanted to be the one who led them and, you know, showed them the path of life. But their rebellion, their sin, their stubbornness meant they turned away. But that, you know, God's heart never changed. That's what he always wanted. And what he still wants for us is that we would turn to him and call him Father, because that's who he is. You know, we see too in the life of David, King David, we see this same heart. You know, David in Acts chapter 13, David is described as a man after God's own heart. You know, what a wonderful title to have. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful to be known as a man or a woman after God's heart? You know, someone totally devoted to the Lord and giving ourselves wholeheartedly in love and service to him. And, you know, that's how King David was known. He was known as a man after God's heart. I love the story in 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel comes to Jesse's family because he wants to anoint one of the boys as the next king after Saul. And he goes all the way down the list, you know, from the oldest to the youngest, and none of them are the chosen one. And Samuel says to Jesse, "We got any more boys? You know, is there anybody else?" I mean, I think that must have been so embarrassing for Jesse. You know, he's got the prophet. The prophet's going to anoint one of his sons a king. And he goes down the line and it's none of the boys. And then Jesse has to admit, well, you know, there's David, but he's outside. You know, Samuel says, "Get him in." And he says, "This is the one." And Samuel anoints David to be the future king. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit rushed on David from that day onwards because of his heart. Yeah, you think, what would that have looked like? You know, the Holy Spirit rushing, or as the New International Version says, coming on him powerfully from that day onwards. You know, that's the life of sonship, is that the Holy Spirit would rush on us, that the Holy Spirit would come on us in power. See, as sons and daughters, we are called to live a life in the Spirit. You know, sonship is not devoid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is integral to this journey that we're on. We have the Spirit in us that enables us to cry, "Abba." You know, we have his Spirit in us that causes us to know that we're sons, not slaves. You know, Ezekiel prophesied about that in Ezekiel 36, I think it is, that, you know, God will put his Spirit in us, and his Spirit would cause us or motivate us to walk in his ways. So sonship is a life in the Spirit. And, you know, we see that little example with King David where the Holy Spirit rushed on him powerfully, you know, every day. And that's, I believe, you know, a hallmark for us as sons and daughters, is that we live in the Spirit. You know, we live a life of the Spirit. We constantly go back and say, "Holy Spirit, fill me up again." See, it's not just the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that flow from being filled with the Spirit. They're important and then necessary, and they are part of the outworking flow of the Spirit's momentum in our lives. But the thing the Holy Spirit principally does, I believe, is causes us to cry, "Abba." You know, we have that Spirit of sonship inside of us that causes us to know and understand and live in our true identity as sons and daughters. So, you know, a life of sonship, living in sonship, is living in the Spirit. It's constantly being open to more of the Spirit to take us deeper into that revelation of who we are and who God is. And what has been opened up to us because we're in Christ. You know, this is all three members of the Trinity working together to bring us into a deeper intimacy and deeper relationship with them. See, facts and principles, you know, they're good, but on their own, they don't lead to us having life or to our heart being changed. You know, they provide a good framework by which we can live our lives. But we need more than facts. We need more than principles. We need more than a new theology. We need a deep incarnational relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's why I said at the beginning, there's always more, because, you know, we can never fully experience the depths of what that means to us. And, you know, I just want to, you know, I suppose really today is just an encouragement, just a reminder perhaps to say, hey, there's more. Let's go deeper. Let's live this life of the Spirit, which takes us on this journey of sonship. And I believe it's the thing that will change us. It will change our churches. And ultimately, it has to change the world around us, because nothing else is going to. And, you know, creation is crying out with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So my magnets, you know, I like my magnets. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, Jesus says, on the last day of the feast, he stood up and said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And what Jesus is offering now is saying, come to me, drink life. You know, if you come to me, you will find the source of life. And so he invites us to come, and not to gain information, but to have a relationship. And, you know, if we think this one here is God the Father, and this one here is us, you know what magnets do? When they're lined up correctly, they attract and they stick to one another. And there's a bond. I mean, these are just kiddies magnets. It's quite loose, but, you know, they pull, you know, they're pulling towards each other. They connect, they lock together. And that's what sonship's like. It's us being locked into relationship with the Father. See, I believe an orphan is a bit like that. When you turn a magnet round, you know, it can't connect. You know, it's actually repelling. You push it close, it just pushes away. And you can just feel like the tension. There's just no connection. And maybe they're trying to find a connection, but it's just not working. You know, if you do that, you get a little bit of a connection, but it's not very strong. But if we turn ourselves around, if we align ourselves with him, we get locked together in relationship. And you see, this is not a master-servant relationship. This is not an employer-employee relationship, but this is a father-son, father-daughter relationship, where the Holy Spirit connects us to the Father, and his life comes into us. And that's, I believe, what it means to live in Christ. You know, when we read through Paul's letters, we see those two words mentioned so many times, you know, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And, you know, if you read Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, you know, every spiritual blessing in Christ, we have redemption in Christ. It just goes on and on and on and on of the joy and the benefit and the fruit of our life in Christ. See, that's sonship, is when we're so united with him, we become like him, and his life becomes our life. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, you know, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. See, slaves, orphans, there's always this question, do I belong? If a slave does the wrong thing, if a slave messes up, he can be kicked out. He can lose his job. He can lose the roof over his head. You know, but a son can mess up. A son can make mistakes. A son can, you know, have all sorts of crises, but they belong. They're not going to get chucked out of the family. And Jesus says, look, a slave doesn't belong, but a son does belong. And if you discover the life that the Son is giving, that will set you free, and you'll be free indeed. See, the life of a son is for us to grow in freedom. You know, I wish I could kind of click my fingers and everybody would be instantly, totally, totally free. But then, you know, if that happened, would we need God? You know, probably not. We'd lose our dependence on him and fall back into dependence on ourselves. But freedom is a journey, and it grows in us. And there's always more freedom for you, and there's always more freedom for me. And as we pursue this journey, you know, I believe that the Father is going to cause our hearts to be free. And you know, when you're free, it's attractive. When you're free, other people are going to see it and think, why is that person so free? You know, and they'll start asking questions. See, freedom is attractive. Freedom is contagious. And so many people feel so bound and in prison, and the longing of their heart is to be free, and they try all sorts of different things, but they can't find true freedom, because true freedom is being set free by the Son and discovering that you too are a son or a daughter. See, again, a lot of this is not new, but I hope it's just something to encourage us and to for each one of us to say, hey, I want more. I want more. And not to be satisfied with where we've got, what we've achieved, or how far we've come, but to recognize there's always more. You know, I think it's good for us to look back sometimes and be grateful and thankful for all that the Father's done in our heart. But we don't want our focus to be backwards. We want our focus to be forwards, because there's always more. And there's a deeper revelation that the Father wants to reveal to each one of us. And I just encourage you to keep opening your hearts to say, Father, I want that revelation. I want that deeper encounter with you, because he's always got it for you. You know, he wants to open his heart to your heart. And for you to see, you know, all those things, the secrets of his heart he wants to reveal to his children. See, sonship is knowing the Father. It's a relationship. You know, a passage we know very well is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, where Jesus starts off by saying, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. Oh, thank you. That was your good pleasure. You've hidden them from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Then he says in verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, Jesus is revealing the Father. I don't believe he's selective. You know, I believe he wants to reveal the Father to anyone who's got eyes to see. And if the eyes of our heart will see, then we can see who God really is, that he really is our Father. And he is being a Father to us. In John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying that final prayer before he's taken to the cross, he says, Father, I have revealed you to them, and I will go on revealing you to them. You see, it's an ongoing revelation, and Jesus is involved with that. He's praying that prayer on that last night before he goes to the cross, and these are the last few verses before he's taken away to the cross. And in most Bibles, that section is headed up, Jesus prays for all believers. That's you and me. You know, Jesus prays for those that will follow on. And he says, Father, I'm going to reveal you to them, and I'm going to go on revealing you to them. See, Jesus says, you know, we can only know the Father when we've had a revelation through the Son, through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says to Philip again in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because Jesus is the exact representation of his Father. And he reveals his Father to us. And, you know, I believe these verses are tied into the previous couple of verses where Jesus says, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, but you've revealed them to little children. And it's as we come with that childlike heart, that childlike openness, that we can see who the Father is. And we can receive that revelation into our heart. And then Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. It's like that childlike heart leads us into a revelation of who the Father is. And that revelation of who the Father is leads us into this life of rest. You know, come if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And, you know, I really believe that as we discover our true identity as sons and daughters, as we have a revelation of our sonship through Jesus revealing the Father to us, you know, it's kind of a twofold revelation. We have a revelation of God's fathering, God being a father to us, and we have a revelation of our sonship, that we are his sons and daughters. And that's the key to coming to a life of rest. You know, a servant, a slave, an orphan, they're not at rest. There's something inside of them that is it's like an engine that's going all the time. It's a motor that's got no peace, no rest. In fact, you know, the story of Cain and Abel. When Cain has killed his brother Abel, God comes to him and says to him, Cain, because of what you've done, you will be a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. And that to me is like, the definition of an orphan heart. You know, a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. And here Jesus says, if you see the Father with a childlike heart, you will find rest for your souls. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It's not that when we have a revelation of the Father and we have a revelation of rest, it's not like we lie on the couch and do nothing all day. But we actually find that his work that he planned for us, the good works that he planned for us in advance, is not a heavy yoke. It's not a burden, but it's life-giving to our souls. We actually rediscover what was lost in the garden. Because in the garden before the fall, God the Father set Adam to work in the garden. He said, here's the garden. You're in charge, mate. You look after it. You know, and it was not a burden. It was not stressful. It was not difficult. It only became hard work. It only became stressful. It only became a challenge after the fall. But before the fall, God put man in the garden to work, and it was restful. And we recover that. In sonship, we discover that walking in his ways is not a burden, but it's a joyful life of freedom that is restful and peaceful and fruitful. You know, I really believe we will see the fruit that we so long to see and that so often has eluded us. So sonship is knowing the Father. Jesus says in John 14, verse 10, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. It is the Father living in me, doing his work. And it's the same for us. It's the Father living in us, doing his work. You know, we give him permission. We say, Father, come and make your home in my heart. and then do your work in my life and through my life. You know, it also says in John chapter 14 that, you know, Jesus is in the Father's in him, and we're in Jesus and the Father's in us. And it all gets very complicated, who's in who, but at the end of the day, we're all in. You know, as sons and daughters, we're in Christ, we're in the Father, and his life flows through us and out of us. You know, we see this life of sonship after the resurrection. Jesus talks to Mary in the garden and says, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You know, before the resurrection, he says, "I don't call you servants, but I call you friends." But after the resurrection, he says, "I call you brothers, because we've got the same Father." And, you know, I believe when we get that in our heart, it changes everything. If we really understand that in the depths of our heart, it will change everything for us. See, we have, as I've said already, we have the Holy Spirit of sonship living in us. The Holy Spirit is God's own spirit, the very core of his being, and is taken of his spirit and put that same spirit in us. He's put his life in us. He's put his character in us. He's put us, his personality in us. You know, we were, of course, you know, after all, we were made in his image. So we reflect his glory. We reflect his nature. We reflect his personality, because his life, his spirit has come into us, and it will change us. And we know the passages in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, where he says, you know, the spirit you've received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the spirit you received enabled you to receive the full rights of sonship so that you could cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And of course, if we're God's children, we're also his heirs. And, you know, we receive. I was looking at this the other day, you know, in Galatians, it talks about us inheriting the promises given to Abraham. And the promises given to Abraham way back in Genesis were that he would be a blessing to the nations of the world, and the nations of the world would come to him. You know, and I believe as sons and as heirs, we inherit those blessings so that we can take a blessing to the nations. And that's just so exciting. You know, we read of the trees planted by the river in Ezekiel, and those trees are getting their life from the river which flows from the temple. They're getting life, they're getting energy, and those trees are fruitful, and the leaves are bringing healing. And it's, you know, it's like that's what the Father wants to do through us. He wants us to be planted by a river of life, so that all of our energy, the source of our life, comes from him. That we would be fruitful, that we would bear fruit, and we would take that fruit to the nations. We would take healing, deliverance, restoration, redemption to the nations. We would show the nations that there is a different and better way, that they too can come to Jesus and find a new life, a new birth in him that sets them on this pathway of sonship. You know, I just think it's so exciting when we really grasp the enormity of this life of being sons and daughters. It really does change everything. And yeah, that's why I just really want to have this encouragement today, just to say, Father, I want more. I want more. You know, I want to go deeper with you. I want to see your life coming into my life. I want your life to flow through me to take healing and deliverance, redemption to the nations, because that's what I believe he wants to do. You know, we can see in Jeremiah and in Psalm 1, there's a picture of us being like a tree planted by the water, you know, getting life, life that flows from his temple, that his life becomes our life, and that we become fruitful trees, bearing fruit every month, bearing fruit in season. You know, that's what the Father's heart is for us. And that's the life of sons and daughters. And, you know, I just want to finish really, and just I'll put on some music in a few moments, but I just really want to finish with this encouragement that if we're walking as Jesus walked, as his sons and daughters, we will be transformed and changed to become more like him. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says, you know, you will produce abundant fruit and you will produce fruit that lasts. And I think those two things have been the desire of our heart. But if we're honest with ourselves, it's not something we've seen a lot of. And, you know, I believe as we live in sonship, as we are connected, like we are branches connected to the vine, connected to the source of life, that we will bear fruit and it will be abundant and it will be lasting. You know, what's eluded us, I believe, can become our inheritance. And so really my encouragement is very, very simple. It's just to say, Father, I want more. I want more of your life. I want the life that flows from the temple to become my life. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to see the power of the Spirit break out of me and touch the world around me so that they too, you know, our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues, our families, that they too can come to that place of saying there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. And that they find a new life and a new birth through Jesus and enter this glorious new kingdom that we've discovered and are discovering. And so I just want to put some music on for a few moments, and I just encourage you just to bring your heart to the Father. And hopefully you can say, Father, I want more. You know, open the eyes of my heart to see more. Take me deeper. May your life become my life. So just take a few moments to open your heart and let the river of his life flow into your heart. And then I'll just wrap it up in a few minutes. Yes, Father, we just simply want to say we want more. We never want to stop pursuing you. And so, Father, for people watching this webcast live, people watching later, I just ask, Father, that that river of life would flow from your throne room into our hearts. That the power of that life would bring transformation in our hearts. That the power of that life would captivate our hearts and change our hearts. That, Father, you would bring more freedom into each one of our lives. Father, I pray that we would see our true identity as sons and daughters. That you caused us, you're calling us to walk as Jesus walked. That path of sonship. May sonship become central to our life, just as it was to Jesus's life. May sonship be the foundation on which we build. Father, may we live in the Spirit as sons and daughters. And so, Father, I just ask that you would release your life, that we would be like those trees planted by the river that become fruitful and take healing and deliverance, redemption to the nations, that we would see many other people come back home to you, finding new life and new birth in you. Thank you, Father, that we are your sons and daughters. And I just pray a blessing on all my brothers and sisters who are watching all around the world. Father, that the eyes of our heart would truly be opened to who you are and to who we are. Amen. Well, thank you all for watching. Thank you for being with me this week. As I say, next week we've got Mark and Laura Russell back as guests. Looking forward to that and what they'll be sharing. So come and join us next week, same time, same place. And thank you for being with us today.